This week on Zen and Not Zen, Pro Time Edition.
What's your favorite Portuguese Christian hymn? Because I got a couple, but what's the first one that jumps out?
The first one that comes to mind for me is Sunshine on the Seashore.
But it's in Portuguese.
But it's in Portuguese. Yeah.
May you, Jesus Christo.
Yeah. My second favorite is probably Three Sets of Footprints. It's more of a spoken word.
Oh, that's a good one. No, silly.
Because
that's
what I was picking. Here's the thing. Yes. There's three sets of footprints because one is me and one is God and one is fucking ayahuasca. So that is the Portuguese ayahuasca hymn that I am comfortable with. And that's the one I know by heart. I don't want to recite it for you now. I know that would take a long time. We only have an hour on the podcast. I don't want to bore the listeners. Bro time.
Oh, how are you with the no boozing with that?
Good. I had one thought right after it happened, like, you know, just escaping kind of idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was a thought, and it really popped in, and I was very aware of it. I was like, huh.
Yeah. It's amazing. Like, yeah. I haven't been triggered. The only time I was triggered is Tiffany said something, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, wow, I haven't felt this way in a very long time.
Yeah. I think it was an intentional trigger. You know, it was like let's see what happens.
Right.
And the thought came up, and it was like, yeah, that's the thing I can do. And then I thought about the day after, and then the days preceding, and then I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
It's not worth it for me to numb myself that much to guilt myself for that long.
Right.
Yeah, I don't even, and again, it's easy to sit there and say that, but it's like, I don't see a scenario in which even the payoff, like, I'm going to feel so bad the next fucking day, even if I have zero hangover.
Not only will it not solve anything, it will make it worse.
Well, like, I will have, even if I can guarantee no hangover, the way I am with fucking how I treat my own self, I am going to treat myself so fucking bad for those three shots of Jameson or whatever the fuck it was.
Right.
So not only do you physically relapse, but you mentally realize.
Just fucking set yourself back and just start doing all that shit again. Yeah.
There is a show I watched on Netflix called Lock and Key. And it's
a
fun show.
I love Lock and Key. Yeah.
And, you know, it's, by no means is it about this, but the mom is a recovering alcoholic. Yeah. And I think within like the second season, she gets sober. Third season, she starts to have these flashback memories of her being a shitty mother. Like, they can go inside their own brains and look at their memories and shit. So she goes inside her brain because she wants to see her ex-husband who passed away, and she's like, oh, there's my husband. But she sees herself drunk around a fire, the campfire, and kind of ignoring her son and treating him kind of like shit. And then that puts her in this spiral, even though she's viewing her drunk self. She's not her drunk herself.
Right.
The memory makes her feel like shit again.
Yeah.
And so then she goes on this path of like, let me just revisit all the shitty times I was a shitty mom. Like, I missed the fucking dance because I was drunk and hungover. I missed the fucking school play, blah, blah, blah.
Let the spiral commence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the daughter said something very beautiful once she found out this is what her mom was doing. She's like, you're the only person that I know that could relapse without actually drinking.
Mm.
And it's like, we got to remember that stuff. We're mentally putting ourselves through this shit. Like, one of the messages I got last when I was in Sacramento was like, the experiences you went through are important because you had to learn a lesson, and that experience, as treacherous as it may have been, was the severity of which you needed to have to learn the lesson. Now take the lesson, please, because you went through some shit to get it, but forget the fucking details that went around you getting that lesson. Leave the story behind. Leave that shit serves no purpose.
Like,
me reminding myself constantly that I was a shitty dad for a very long time does me no good because I'm better now. The feeling and the understanding of the lesson that I learned from that, please, I don't want to feel that again, so let's, you know, understand that's
make
the
difference
just moving forward. But like, if I just keep thinking about like the games that I missed with my kids, or like the shit that I didn't do, and the times I didn't take them to school, it's like, I'm never going to get out of fucking bed.
Right. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny that the thing you said about Lock and Key is like, oh, you can relapse without a drop of alcohol. I feel like I don't have an alcohol addiction problem, but that mentality, I have an addiction to that mentality of just treating myself like shit, reviewing old things I did, things I said, situations I should have done this, but I did this. Like, it will keep me up at night.
Right.
Just and I feel like that is an addiction in itself. And I think I probably have my own substances I use to kind of numb that. Alcohol is just not one of them. But yeah, that mentality is an addiction, and it's really hard to break.
Yeah. There's, you know, the line of work I'm in now, like I just, you know, I have sessions and clients and things like that, but also I'll just have coffee with people. Like people mm-hmm. are like, hey, can we just get coffee? I just need to talk. I'm like, yeah, please. So there's a number of individuals that I just like kind of chat with, and by no means am I mentoring them. It's just, you know, like I remember people in my life when I was younger offering their you're like, hey, just have a conversation, just grab a cup of coffee. And like that being so meaningful, like yeah. just that wisdom that's imparted, just shit like that. Right.
Yeah.
Again, not saying I got the wisdom, but you know, it's just cool to have conversations.
Well, a lot of people don't have, I mean, we've said this before and I've been fortunate. I have friends such as you two that I could talk to about shit like this. Obviously not probably on the fucking podcast, yeah. but it's just like, yeah. have that. Not a lot yeah. of people have that. Even if they have a shitload of friends, they don't have that fucking ability to like, besides talk about fucking football and wings. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I try to make myself available for that.
One and 1A, yeah. football yeah. and wings.
Yes, exactly. Hand in hand. So this gentleman I was talking to is in his early 20s, and he asked me, he always asks me these really great questions, but a lot of his questions are like, do I feel like he's in a good position for his age? Mm. And so it's like, it's hard to answer.
Oh, that's tricky,
so
man.
I try to, you know, get him to answer them for yeah. him. But he asked me one time, this couple weeks ago, he's like, do you have any regrets in life? You know, do you regret anything you've done, or are you like, you know, cause you're in a good place right now. I'm like, yes, right now I'm in a good place, but you know, I've got failed relationships. I've got child abandonment. I was an alcoholic. I abused drugs for a number of years. I dove into my job and abandoned my family. Like I did all these things, but if I look back, I don't regret any of that.
Yeah.
The only thing I would change is the pain I caused somebody else. Right? Yeah. I don't want to cause people pain, but I had to be a shitty dad. I had to you know, just dive into jobs. I had to not be a present spouse or father to be who I am now.
That's your journey of learning. Exactly. That's so like, the stops you had to make to get to where you are.
Right. I yeah. would not have changed a damn thing, as hard as it is to look back and see that trail of tears, if you will. There's also a lot of good shit that happened, mm-hmm. but like, you know, maybe I'll change my answer tomorrow. But for that answer then, it was like, no, I can't, because I'm really happy with who I am now.
Yeah.
And I see no other path to me getting to this place
yeah.
rather than that trail of tears that I left in my wake. But at the same time, what I would consider as I caused pain to somebody else could have been the impetus they needed to find something else in their life and put them on a path that they needed. Again, it's not me doing the thing, but like, we never know. Like, this is chapter 2 of a 1,000 chapter fucking book. Like, yeah. we have no idea what this moment is going to be 10 chapters from now.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the best thing that we ever had, or it could be like, oh shit, yeah, okay, cool. Let's regroup and figure this out.
Yeah. Right?
So
I could build a city with the rubble from the bridges I have burned.
It's a great fucking line. Good for
I
you.
Could build a fucking city. And I was thinking about it recently because I've been doing some new work and like kind of in the same vein of like, I don't regret the bridges I burned. I kind of regret how it made me feel or how it made them feel. But those were relationships that were not sustainable, and right. I let them go for longer than they should have, and it ended in a nuclear explosion when it could have ended softer, or yeah. you know what I mean. But I let it go for too long. Things were left unsaid.
Yeah.
Resentment started to build. Anger started to build. So I'm just quiet, 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 and I'm gonna nuke you out of nowhere. Yeah. Like on a Tuesday afternoon, I'm just gonna end everything.
Well, I mean, it's kind of in my mind always been a fruitless pursuit to sit there and live and like about like regretting other shit. But yeah. like, let's be honest, there's things I would have done differently.
Yeah,
like, it's
totally.
Like, there's no fucking way. I'm not batting 1,000. No right. one is.
Well but, the, but even the with point,
that, like, I wouldn't change those things. But I wouldn't change those
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you I know? Get it's that. Like, I get that.
The point of doing things poorly in the past is I look back on it now and being like, if this situation pops up again, I now have a choice to do it differently because I know how that feels. Well, and I don't know if I'd like to recreate that.
Like, remember that fucking time I got decked in the face at the, right. at the bar? And I was the biggest problem I had with it was that I had no fucking idea why, so right. I couldn't learn from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fucked you up for a while.
Like, it still actually pisses me off. Yeah. I mean, what the fuck? I do. I've talked enough shit. I deserve to get decked in the face. Like, but it's like...
Well, was it a time when you were drinking and that's why you don't remember? Or
no,
or
no,
don't,
nobody knows why. No, nobody knows why.
Just someone came up and punched you in the face.
We were outside smoking cigarettes. And what? Nobody knows
right
why.
It was everybody, the jet, right? Right outside
the jet. Yeah, it was the jet. And I was making an observation about how sketchy it was. And somebody was like, I'll show you sketchy. But it was like... No, literally, like,
I don't
nobody,
mean to laugh, but that's
nobody,
wild.
No, you know, nobody in my group knows why. I don't know why. I have no idea why I got... But, again, karmic balance. I've talked enough shit to strangers at bars. I've almost got decked before.
Yeah.
And this
but,
was
like,
just a build-up?
Literally, I had nothing. There's... What do you learn from that? It's right. Like, okay, so don't talk shit to a stranger. Okay, I fucking thought I learned that when I almost got decked the first time.
Right.
You know? Right. So it's like, I still, you know, the whole point is, like, all these experiences, good, bad, or otherwise, it's like fucking... You know, maybe you don't need to learn from the good ones, but maybe it's like, okay, well, what do I need to do to make more of those good things happen?
Right.
Well, that's beautiful. And I think being aware of the times you don't show up the way you want to, again, not beating yourself up for it, just being aware of that can help you lean more towards those times that you're like, oh, I was really proud of the way I showed up. Like that was great, you know?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we don't know. Like, okay, so on the idea that eldership isn't being passed down like it has been, you know, years before, whatever, generations before, we don't have a lot of guidance on how to have conversations and how to counsel people in tragic situations. So, but everybody watches TV. So a lot of times we just regurgitate what we see 100%. On TV. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's okay. No, stop crying. It'll be fine.
Right.
You know, all these things that like we feel because we see people do it on TV and it's like, oh, well, that's how you comfort people.
Right.
Not knowing that's the most triggering thing you can do. Right. But again, that person's not meaning anything negative or malice by it. They just don't know what to say because nobody's ever really held that space for them.
So, right. I had some friend who was going through some shit, and he was going through a divorce, and my other friend was, you know, trying to console him, and this is his wife now. We're at lunch, like, sitting there going, yeah, you know, so-and-so was sitting there trying to console him, and all he could say was, yeah, man, that sucks. Yeah, man, that sucks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, like, the believe me didn't mean any fucking negative and was trying to be there for, quote, his boy, but it's literally that's all he had.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I'm like, it does suck.
Yeah.
But it's just like, I mean, you know, when you don't fucking... And I mean, in that dude's defense, I don't think he's ever really, like... Now he probably does, but I don't think he's ever had to, like, manage, you know, like a group of people to where you're going to need to kind of, if you want to be good at it or at least competent at it, learn some of those skills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I think that separates the okay managers from the good ones is if you have at least some of that plus an actual competency. Well, when I'm just talking about restaurants, but you know what I mean? It's just like, you have to learn that shit. My friends were like, oh, you became way nicer. I'm like, well, I fucking had to be. I couldn't just be like, fuck you, I'm the best server, fuck you.
Even though that's what I was thinking the whole time.
Yeah, right. Still great, it still works.
That's the truth, I just got done myself.
You know. one of my old bosses, Jeff, I talk about a lot, you know, told me something like that. And it's something like kind of like we're talking about now. It's like, you don't know how to deal with shitty situations until you go through them.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, you have to go through them to learn how to deal with them or take some really good courses on how to manage people with that. But when I first started managing, I had to have a conversation, like a coaching conversation with somebody about like performance. And this is the most awkward thing because like I went from being on that same level, staff to being manager, you know? And so this is a person that I worked with for a number of years.
Shit
and
sucks.
Dude.
But his point was, he's like, yes, I can have that conversation. It'll probably be more impactful from me because I am the GM.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to learn how to do this. And the more you do it, the less awkward it gets. Yeah. And if you start with somebody that you know and love, you're going to be very soft in the way you do that. And you'll have a good gauge. You're not just going to go off and be like, I'm a manager now. You need to fucking shower more, you son of a bitch.
Right.
Well, you know, like get the ego excited because like I know this human, right? And so I was very soft in the beginning. I had a follow-up conversation with him, which made it even more awkward, which is like, how am I never going to do this again?
Yeah.
How do I make this
conversation?
Much? Yeah.
The deodorant conversation, which I had to do every summer back when we worked there.
Oh, yeah, that's awkward.
The way in which I had to do that, or the way in which I found maybe not the most effective, but effective enough was, hey, so-and-so, do you wear deodorant? Yes. you should probably do a couple more passes.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was the best way that I found to just like, you know, hey man, you fucking smell like shit.
Yep.
Because that's really what I want to say, but you can't say
that. Right. There was someone that got hired at one of the other locations of the restaurant, and someone came in that works for the restaurant last night, and the new hire apparently... It just reeks of cologne, overdone. Yeah, and
I'm a cool.
All of the managers appointed this one person who's not a manager because this person is a very like straightforward. I'm just going to tell you how it is, and so they're like, I've been assigned. Yeah,
polishing a brandy glass right now.
So like, I've been assigned their first shift, and I have to let them know about their cologne situation. And I was like, I don't know how I would even begin to broach that.
Yeah.
And that's not even a BO situation. That's just a cologne situation. But I'm always like, ooh.
So, and again, I never did fine dining or any of that shit. That's obviously not my style. But with cologne, it was always like at times like when you couldn't wear it at coffee because it can get into the fucking beans.
Right? Yeah.
But like just in general, like you could just say like, you
food know, service from, rules. Like, sorry.
Yo, dog, it fucking fucks with the ambiance of what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, and even in offices.
Polo Sport, another shout out, old cologne, Polo Sport.
Yeah. Yeah, Polo Sport.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I can't remember which company it was, but I worked for a company where there was a perfume and cologne, like you cannot wear it into work because we're all in a very shared space. It's small.
Yeah.
Some people have allergies. Fuck, some people are sensitive. Like it's just across the board. Like
that job straightening the boxes on that assembly line, that video you sent me.
I know. Just that lady half asleep just straightening the boxes out. Like, okay. Dream.
So, no, I understand that your dream job, like your favorite job was like taking staples out of fucking paper for like 8 hours a day. But like that lady who, so for the, you know, for the image of radio or podcast, it was an assembly line and her job while she sat there literally leaning against whatever the fuck, like a pillow, was to straighten these cardboard boxes that were on this assembly line just like an inch and a half.
Just pushing a corner with like the slightest effort.
Just to make them all flush.
Yeah.
So it looks good.
Dream.
Grocery store look.
What a dream.
God, there's no fucking way I could not. I mean, believe me, I actually didn't mind washing dishes. Just, I fucking hated, don't ask me to do ramekins.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, ramekins.
Butter.
Dude. Ramekins. Yeah, dude.
The worst.
There's no good way to clean a ramekin.
I would sign up for being a dishwasher at least once or twice a week if I had a no ramekins and none of those, like, fucking big pan things.
Plates and forks, give them on over. Pots.
The thing that still terrifies me is having a rack of ramekins, and you think they're all in the right position, they're all facing down, and you go to give them the pre-wash spray, and all of a sudden one flips over, and you get that just right jet of water
right
into the right ramekin angle. That it goes right into your mouth, and then all of a sudden you have used ranch in your mouth, and you're like...
And warm water, watered down condiment.
The amount of like...
Oh,
yeah,
kill me.
It's just disgusting.
No.
Oh my God. The TikTok video you sent me, Robin, of Mattress Mac, and
that guy's a Houston legend. Well, I'm not from Houston, but
okay,
so, I know about Mattress Mac.
Yeah, I grew up with Mattress Mac. So in Texas,
bets $1 million on the World Series Houston Astros every year.
Yeah, he's crazy, right? But in Texas, there's a thing. I think we've talked about this before. But there's a thing where mattress stores have just the most insane commercials. Like they like light shit on fire, chainsaw shit in half.
Kind of like used car sales.
Texas, baby.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy.
Okay.
Yeah. And Mattress Mac's been in the game since like the 70s, right?
He's like 90 now. Houston Astros have been good in the last 10 years, so like he's been more on the forefront. But he's, like, doesn't he give mattresses away too? Oh, yeah. Like, if they win the World Series, so like he's a hitter in the community.
He's a local celebrity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's very giving in the community. He's got a lot of mob ties, theoretically, in the community.
Yes.
His furniture store is called Gallery Furniture.
He's made.
So
you know he's made.
Robin sends me a TikTok video of Mattress Mac's new commercial. And Mattress Mac is dressed like in this purple jumpsuit. He's got a purple bandana tied around his head, like very gangsterish, right? You know, stereotypical.
Dropping Jolly Ranchers.
I've seen this. Pouring Sprite in. And then he's like talking about local hip hop.
He mentions Pimp C, Lil Keke, died drinking lean.
Yes.
And he's like doing it like a mock
I glazed over on TikTok and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, I was like,
up next. I'm not even.
I'm gonna have to go back and watch it. Matt. I clicked on this. I'm like, oh, dude. And then I'm just like, I clicked on the comments because I found this on Reddit and it's just like,
it blew me away.
Oh, and then it, like all these Houston people start shouting. I'm like, oh, fuck, I gotta send this to Adam. You know, Adam knows this shit.
Man, that made me so happy.
Dude, there's maybe you so said that your brother had already seen it.
Well, I haven't heard from Aaron yet, but I sent it to Aaron, both Aaron and Andy. Yeah. Andy hadn't seen it and he was dying. Because, like, again, we grew up with this dude. I've been watching this guy since I was in fucking diapers.
Gallery
Furniture, we'll save you money.
No, but just literally, shit, like, man. Making drank and then just sitting there like, Pimp C wouldn't, I could, it you was, know, some haters will give you a good deal.
Was it an actual commercial?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not, wasn't just a TikTok video?
No, this is,
wow. This is,
That's the mattress store game in Texas. Like, literally.
It's just how crazy. How can we bump it up?
Sign me the fuck it? Up, dude. Like, I would be all up. About that
Seattle
shit.
Could
if I,
never.
I worked for JR no, Furniture. If all we did was talk shit about, like, Ashley Furniture, whatever the fuck the local ones are up here.
Right, yeah.
Be great.
Yeah.
Start slinging mud, like, in an election year.
Oh my God.
I mean, Dick's Burgers, you got it right there. You know what I mean? So like, funny. It's sitting, waiting for y'all to be making so crazy funny. Commercials.
So I sat with ayahuasca the other
yeah,
day.
Oh yeah, tell
okay,
us.
So I've been thinking about this medicine for a long time. And if
I anybody, thought you had done it already.
Yeah, a lot of people do.
Okay.
Right? I, you know, so if you follow the podcast, these folks know, obviously, but...
The legions of fans out there aware.
We're aware.
Aware of your journey, sir.
So love psilocybin as a big medicine.
Yep.
You know, do that quite a bit. But it's been a little, maybe 2 years since I've sat with that medicine in a big way. You know, microdose and stuff like that. But you know, I've had the idea of wanting to sit with ayahuasca for a while. And I could feel that my ego was really driving that because it's like, well, if you do this, you might as well do that. And it's like, well... Okay, I feel that, and I feel like there's a natural pull towards it, but I also feel like I'm pushing myself towards it, so I kind of backed off and was just like, let me just feel it out.
Yeah,
because you and I kind of addicts.
You don't
want to
need it.
So
exactly.
Like, oh, hey, you know, you're really good at getting fucked up, definitely. So it's like, you
gotta be in the right
just
mindset.
Checking another box.
Uh-huh. Totally,
right?
Yeah.
And so I met a guy right before COVID that runs a local ayahuasca church. And through this church, they meet, they drink ayahuasca, and they sing Portuguese Christian hymns for like 7 hours.
What's your favorite Portuguese Christian hymn? Because I got a couple, but what's the first one that jumps out
The first one that comes to mind for me is Sunshine on the Seashore.
But it's in Portuguese.
But it's in Portuguese. Portuguese.
May you Jesus Cristo.
Yeah. My second favorite is probably Three Sets of Footprints. It's more of a spoken word.
Oh, that's a good one. No, silly.
Because
that's what I was
thinking. Here's the thing. Yes. There's three sets of footprints because one is me and one is God and one is fucking ayahuasca. So that is the Portuguese ayahuasca hymn that I am comfortable with. And that's the one I know by heart. I don't want to recite it for you now. I know that would take
a long
time.
We
only have an hour on the podcast. Yeah, I don't want to bore the listeners.
Traditional, you know, there's things we need to do ambiance-wise before we even try to
create the container.
Uh-huh.
You know,
burn some myrrh.
Uh-huh.
Is that something you could burn?
Yeah.
Frankincense.
Flaming bush, also another really popular one.
Oh, I got a quick joke. What's the difference between a gynecologist and a genealogist?
Genealogist.
Oh, there's got to be something with... a gynecologist and a genealogist?
Yeah.
Oh, there's got to be a whole punchline somewhere in there. I don't know.
Close. Not really. One looks up the family tree. The other looks up the family bush.
There it is.
Yeah.
Speaking of tree and bush, on the 7 Mile Bridge on the Florida Keys, that fucking thing, there is... I think it's Stan the Tree and, like... fucking Martha the Bush. Like, there's these two fucking
really?
like plants in the middle of fucking concrete.
Where's their lean commercial?
Plants.
Yeah.
They're so fucking resilient. But, okay, so yeah. So this, couple years ago, this guy approached me, Portuguese hymns, ayahuasca church, and I'm like, that sounds great for you, but that doesn't sound like anything that I want to do because my Christian...
You lost me at hymns,
that would have...
And so I was like, yeah, cool, it sounds awesome, and I actually met him on the podcast, he's a great guy. I've sat with him with different medicines, but not that. And, so not my time. And then a couple, maybe about a year and a half later, you know, another opportunity came up, and it was very similar to that. It was a different church. It was somewhere else, like out of state. But again, I was like, the church aspect just doesn't get me. I'm not there. And then
talk about vulnerability. Yeah. Help me meet you with some God.
That's
shit.
Just gonna trigger the fuck out of like, me right before a trip.
Not cool at all, yeah. Bro.
So then a couple weeks ago, I'm working with a new client, and after our session, he starts talking to me about the church of ayahuasca. They call it the Santo Daime. And I'm like, God damn it. I felt like Will Ferrell in Austin Powers. Like, three times! Three times!
I'm quite badly burned!
I'm very burned! The third time. So I'm like, fuck, okay, cool. Yeah. Let's feel this out. And mm-hmm. I just broke, you know, separate with Mon. And so, like, I'm like, okay, I'm on a journey. This is an opportunity for me to look at myself in a different way. So, and I haven't sat with big mushrooms in a long time. So, let me explore this. Yeah. It's not going to hurt me. It's not going to kill me.
Right.
You know, figure it out. So, I went to this this person's house mm-hmm. with 17 other people, and it was very like there was it was very thematic. You
Describe
know.
The demos of those 17 people, age range.
Age range, actually, pretty dramatic. So I would say late 60s to mid 20s.
Okay, so across the board,
yeah, and. And so, but it was regimented. Like there's like, hey, this person's going to sing or this person's going to play guitar. We're going to have these hymns. We're going to sing. Here's the books. If you follow along, try to follow along. If you can't, that's fine. It's your first time. Just feel the experience. Yeah. They call it a current, right? So mm-hmm. we're all sitting around in a circle. There's in folding chairs. Again, not the experience that I thought that I would be stepping into with this medicine when I many years ago thought about this, but beautiful. Beautiful container, you know, we're all wearing white, you know, all this stuff. And so they do a little introduction and then first serving of ayahuasca. And we sit down and my man starts playing guitar, mm-hmm. flamenco guitar and all this stuff. And people start singing. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, we're singing. I'm trying to follow along. I'm like, okay, got it. Kind of stand up and start singing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're humming and I'm like, okay. Yeah. And then I start to feel like, okay, all right, feel the medicine start to work it in there.
How fast?
Within about a half an hour.
Okay.
And so we do that for almost like 2 hours.
Tea?
Yes. Okay. Tea. It's got like a little chocolatey taste to it. But it was beautiful, right? And I'm starting to feel the current that they talk about. And then we have our second helping. The guy's still playing. Everybody just kind of takes turns, goes, talks to, they call it the Padrino, have the serving, and then go back to the circle. And that second serving was like, hey, dude.
Good morning.
And it was... So the whole event lasted 7 hours, and this person played guitar for 7 hours and drinking ayahuasca.
Holy shit! Whoa. I mean, that in and of itself, Jerry Garcia.
That is,
impressed.
Yeah. Like, I would after him, I went up to
he deserves his own
like,
Portuguese hymn.
Hey man, like you're amazing guitarist. That was fantastic. But like, I see what you've done as a musician, seeing another musician and being in the state of mind that I could
just
I see
constant
you.
Music.
Good for you,
bro.
Good for you. But yeah, so it was, 7 hours of that. I ended up throwing up a little bit. I had to excuse myself from the circle and sit for a while. The experience going on inside me was very amazing. I was
That's closed
way...
eye visuals.
Yes. Depth, very deep, very deep. And it was an awareness that was kind of jarring to me because like with mushrooms, you know, you take that hero's journey and it just all of a sudden you're gone, mm-hmm. right? You're still kind of understanding of what's happening, but there's no control.
Right.
And for this journey, it was almost like the medicine was getting familiar with me. Mm. Like we were like doing this dance almost. Like the visuals I was getting was like, it was like coming to me and like looking at me and then moving away. It's like almost an animal, like kind of approaching.
Like a living thing.
Know? Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, you know, checking out my, you know, intentions and all this stuff. And so it was almost like this mutualistic dance of like, are we still right?
You good?
Other,
ready, yeah.
You know? Other people got sick as well, probably.
Yeah.
It's pretty common.
Yeah. You've
done peyote? Have you done peyote? Yeah. Yeah. So, I think my parents were telling me they did peyote. You pretty much get sick with that too. That's like almost guaranteed.
A lot of those medicines will. And that's part of it. You know, it's it's a toxin.
Yeah.
Right?
So
you're basically poisoning yourself.
Have you thrown up on shrooms?
Yeah.
It's
that's pretty
trippy looking at those stems again.
Well, yeah. when I do big journeys, I can't eat them. I make a tea.
Yeah.
You know, you can't eat 5 grams of mushrooms and feel good.
No.
You know, that's not a thing.
Yeah.
So, But yeah, so there's, I mean, so much to unpack, and I'm not doing the experience justice just by talking about it, but like, it was extremely moving, and
was it as life changing as you thought it was going to be, or like as influential, or
I think beyond.
Yeah,
really.
You know? And I went in there with a big, like, not expectation of like, but like an awareness, of like I said, okay, so just Mon and I are separating right now. So, you know, where I'm at in my journey, yes, that's sad. I'm aware of my emotions. I'm stepping into them. I'm not stopping myself from crying. I'm not stopping myself from being angry, but I'm trying to find understanding in that, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, the biggest parts of our life, the biggest impacts of our life happen when change happens.
Yeah.
And change is so fucking hard, right? But if we can be aware through change and understand that there's an outcome from change, it can give us that wherewithal to like weather the change, right? Yeah. Like, you're not growing with your feet in the sand looking at the ocean. That's where the integration after the growth happens, right? This is the time where like shit is going sideways in my life. It's okay. Mm-hmm. We're gonna figure it out. But evolution is potentially happening for me.
Yeah.
So let's be as aware of it as I can. In the intuition I've been trying to step towards, this is the third time ayahuasca has spoken to me. I have this darkness journey I'm going on soon. Mm. I have business opportunities that are being presented towards me. So it's like there's a very good, impactful change that's happening in the wake of this terrible dramatics that's also happening.
Yeah.
So being aware of both and trying to find the balance and not trying to turn away from one to enjoy the other, right, or get lost in one and ignore the other, right? Yeah. I can easily get lost in my sorrow and my woe and turn a blind eye to all these opportunities that are coming towards me because I'm scared and I want to sabotage myself anyways. Right. And this is just an excuse to do that.
Right.
Right. So it's like, how do I do something different than I've done my entire fucking life?
Mm-hmm.
Embrace the sadness. Mm-hmm. Got it. It's here. And use that sadness as a catalyst to move forward.
Yeah. It doesn't have to all be bad.
Totally. Yeah. Right. The bad happens. It's the fucking principles of Buddhism. Right. They fucking focus so much on sorrow. Sorrow, mm-hmm. sorrow for happiness. Well, here's the sorrow.
Yeah.
Right? It's just leading the way to the happiness. Exactly. Makes the happiness that much sweeter.
Yeah. I didn't even really ponder the going into an ayahuasca retreat with kind of some, you know, potentially negative emotions that are just very much fresh.
It was very
that's fucking, you know.
But I needed that. I needed that to make sure that I wasn't skirting this, right?
Yeah.
Because just like when my mom passed
on,
away.
I guess, yeah.
Well, like when my mom passed away, like my dad died, I broke down. I went under. Drank, cried, moved away from emotions, turned into a shittier human being. My mom died, and it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was okay.
You're in a different place.
But I was scared that I wasn't seeing something. I was scared that I didn't like let the emotions happen.
Mm.
And so I kept opening the door, and I kept talking to people, and I kept like presenting the emotion to be there, to be as dramatic as I expected it to
so
be.
So you're not like going to have it, like I had a friend who dealt with it just snuck up on him.
Exactly.
Right.
Just something just triggered and it fucked him up like
right.
3 months after.
Totally.
Like you think that you're doing really well, but really you're suppressing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, I know
it's
exactly
like
what you're talking about.
Like I'll pull my mom's ashes over and like sit with her ashes.
Yeah.
And like look at my mom and dad's picture. It's right there on the fucking... Like...
Well, and just like TV, I'm supposed to be this
way.
Exactly. I'm supposed to mourn this way. Everyone I know mourns this way. Why am I not mourning this way?
So that never, like, I never had that big emotional breakdown, but I feel very at peace with my mom's passing. And same with this situation with Mon. Like, it's emotional. It sucks. It's terrible. It's an uncoupling from an 8.5-year relationship. There's friends, family, there's all this stuff. And I'm sad, but it's also not as devastatingly apparent as previous relationships have been,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's a bit of a growth,
mm-hmm.
right? And so like, this sucks, that's sad, but kind of like, good for you. You're witnessing your growth.
Yeah.
Right? So,
yeah.
You know.
And that was like my first instinct when I was notified about it was just like, I should be more devastated for them, but I know both of them are going to be fine.
Yeah.
So I'm like sad for you, but I know where you are in your journey right now. And, you know, my first thought was worried about you. And then I was like, oh no, Adam's going to be fine. It's going to suck and it's going to hurt, but he's going to be fine.
But also people, you guys check in.
Yeah.
Like Robin, you hadn't known yet. So,
yeah.
But you know, you've checked in a few times and that's exactly what needs to happen. Like yeah. people check in and then it gives me an opportunity to either go to that place. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Or give an honest answer because yeah. somebody asked an honest question.
Yeah.
Right. And that honest answer allows me to look at my emotion for that moment in time and say, no, I'm kind of sad right now.
Yeah.
Or actually, I'm okay.
Right.
I'm doing okay right now.
Well, not like being like, you'll be fine. Like it doesn't matter kind of a thing. It's like this is not going to end Adam.
Right.
Or this is not going to end Monica. Like there are some people that go through breakups where I'm like, and have gone through breakups and divorces where I'm like, oh, this is who he's going to be for the rest of his life. He will never recover from this.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is growth opportunity moment.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that was again, one of the reasons I wanted to sit with Aya was to make sure that I was
on a
hiding.
First name basis at that. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it was a beautiful experience and it really kind of helped me get past a lot of the preconceived notions I had about the religion thing. And it helped me get a good understanding of like what my relationship now is with it. Mm. And this isn't saying that like, I'm going to go and preach the fucking Portuguese Christian gospel and you know, that stuff. But I think it helped me soften my vehemency against like organized religions.
Yeah.
Because you know, like people are just doing what they can, you know, and it was very beautiful, the container they created. And, you know, something actually you guys both know, Andy Hastings, remember Andy
mm-hmm.
Hastings?
Yeah.
Because I at Red Hook is when I first started like my spiritual kind of ideas yeah. and stuff. And I have this problem with the word God. Like it's really just overplayed.
Yeah.
And I have this like white God vision in my head and it doesn't work for me.
No.
And she told me one time, she was like, we're having a conversation. She's like, you know, whenever you hear the word God, just replace it with self.
Mm-hmm.
And because you are the God of your own universe, right? Yeah. And that's not an egoic thing. It's just like that's you. You're creating this entire universe around
it's
you.
The truth,
right?
Yeah.
You're sensing it through your nervous system. It's all yours, right? Just like your universe is yours. Everybody's is different. So that helped a lot.
Yeah.
You know, replace God with the word self. You know, okay, pray to the self,
mm-hmm.
right? Yes, because I want the self to be happy. So yeah, I can do that. I can get that my head around that. So you know, it's nice to have those lenses start to be revealed a little bit more for what they were.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like a filter that was put over a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So real quick, and this is just a random fucking weird thought I have, because due to legality around an ayahuasca ceremony, doesn't it have to actually have some sort of like kind of religious thing attached to it?
Yes.
So you can't just be like, all right,
hey
boys,
guys,
we're gonna start with Dark Side of the Moon, I'll see you at the wall.
Well, so there are very much that application as well. You know, more of the ayahuascarians where they're holding space, singing the Icaros, stuff mm-hmm. like that. But this this church is a recognized church. They when their ayahuasca brews come in, they come in checked in through the DEA. They get tagged. They get brought to the churches. The churches are then inventoried from them.
Yeah.
So it's a whole legit. Like it's a very
no, I know.
Yeah. yeah.
But there are places, you know, in the States that operate outside of that and have, you know, like more of the traditional
go to the yurt.
Like Peruvian, mm-hmm. you know, ayahuasca journeys and stuff. And, you know, and again, like egoically, that was my idea. I'm like, no, I'm going to go sit with an ayahuascarian. I'm going to be in a hut on a fucking rice mat and blah, blah, all this shit. Like,
yeah.
you know, it's like, get out of your
part
fucking
part of me
way.
Wants
right.
running
yeah.
water
it's
if
all
I'm
going to
get
medicine.
Fucking sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
pretty bad.
Honestly,
Yorkin?
Not that bad. And it was the third serving.
Quite honestly, I don't want to be in a hot, humid place.
Yeah.
And
oh shit.
That's just me.
Did I miss that part? You're in a hot fucking hut.
No, just like when people travel to South America to ayahuasca and they do it outside
you're
and it's
just
in the
sticky
whatever.
Already.
And I was like, you know, just four walls and you're out in the nature, which I know is the whole point. So you're connected with nature. Yeah. But I'm like, I'd be thinking the whole time, I'm so goddamn hot. I'm so goddamn hot. I'm so goddamn hot.
So. You wouldn't though.
Yeah.
You're,
other things.
Like going into it, maybe that, but like as soon as the medicine took you, it's like.
Yeah.
But that's the beautiful thing about opening yourself up to the experience of what presents itself to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not trying to search something out that might be outside of your comfort zone or what your like expectations are. Like,
yeah.
You know, love the Macklemore line, expectations are resentments waiting to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, so. But yeah.
Yeah, I think the fact that it is attached to something that has a trigger tendency of church and hymns and all that, I think that that would be interesting for me too, because that in itself would be healing to find a safe space in a place that I don't deem safe in my memories.
Right.
So yeah. That's kind of a nice, that's.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. And the container that they created, super safe. And man, it was amazing.
How long was the actual, like, you were tripping? Like, was it all 7 hours? Was it three and just kind of recovery time?
6.5.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started.
Pretty big peak.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Biggest peak you've had?
No. No.
Is it again, like.
Because you've done some pretty heavy doses of psilocybin. Yeah. So, like, you, and I mean.
But like, again, like, I think it was like a familiar, like, we were getting familiar with one another.
Are you like, seeing things like you would when you take mushrooms, or talking to things, or is it more of just your brain kind of going indifferent?
There was, so at the dosages that I took, there were a lot of similarities that I would say between the psilocybin journeys I've had and the ayahuasca journey that I experienced. And it was just my first time with the ayahuasca, but there were a lot of similarities, but also I could see that there was a lot more opportunity for like face-to-face contact with something.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with my big journeys with psilocybin personally, it's always been for me like a, like, so the, mama mushroom, whatever you want to call her. But, you know, like when I go into my big, like when it starts to peak, like I feel this, like being wrap me up.
Yeah.
But I can't see it, but right. I feel it wrap me up. I'll get information through osmosis, you know, where it's like being transferred to me, but I won't see a being.
It's like
I'll
have spirit conversations versus being.
Kind yeah. Of like thing. I'll definitely have conversations. Like there was one time where I was in like a hall of all these other beings and I couldn't see them, but I was being berated for fucking up Earth. They're basically blaming all of Earth's plight, the racism,
fuck,
like
man.
Everything.
Concrete
on me.
Just blows my mind.
I'm
like,
whoa.
Totally, man. I was like, what the fuck, man? No, this ain't, you can't blame this shit on me. I'm doing my best. This is all of us. You know, you might
and
have.
And I'm not
the,
even the worst
dude,
one here.
In a galaxy, you might have that
fucking
like,
jet
hey.
Setting lifestyle.
Yeah.
And so, like, and it was, I can't believe I haven't told you this. This is fucking awesome. So, I was like 7 grams of mushrooms. Like, I was.
That's,
kidding,
that
right?
is double my biggest fucking
trip. Yeah, I can't.
So, I'm around. I'm at the old house around the fireplace downstairs. Everyone, nobody home, just me. Raining outside, it's crazy. So I'm having that conversation, right? I'm this council of elders, and I can't see anybody, and it's very light and like pillar-esque and shit. And I just have these voices that are telling me how shitty of a job I'm doing managing Earth, right? And I'm like, fuck you, you know, my whole like.
I'm only one man.
I'm, like, oh, I'm doing my best, and it's all of us. And then all of a sudden. Like there was a loud thunder or a clap or something happened. And I went from that to being Adam. Just all of a sudden, I'm back to being me. Very coherent and aware that I'm on a very big dose of mushrooms. But I'm aware of me again.
Right.
Not this state of mind I was in. I was naked.
Yeah.
There was rain. The doors are open. Don't know how that happened. And I'm wandering around the house like, and just me and Olive wandering around the house.
Well,
I'm trying to figure.
Doors are open.
Doors
you're
are open.
Tripping balls. Naked.
Naked.
Fucking.
Doors
just,
are open. Oh. I can make it to the front door and shut that. But the back door is open. I'm like,
holy
okay, cool.
Holy shit.
And I'm wandering around just like looking at my neighbors across the street.
No shit, dude. I know your old house. Like,
I know, it's right.
Looking at Mickey and Julie's house like they're never going to talk to me again. I don't know how I'm going to ever communicate with humans again. This is the fucking crazy. And I went and looked in the mirror and it probably lasted
don't look
for
at
like
the mirror
15
on
minutes.
Shrooms.
Oh, I
don't
looked in the mirror
that.
The last time I did shrooms and I was like terrified
holy
at first and then
fuck.
I couldn't stop.
Yeah. No, no
so
good.
It I think it probably lasted 15 minutes, but it felt like an hour. And so I go back and look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. And I'm like trying to rationalize how to have a conversation with Olive. And this is all, again, very aware of what's happening. And then I go back to the Council of Elders.
Nice.
And I'm like, don't you ever fucking do that to Adam
open
again.
Open my
how
doors.
How dare you do that to this man? You know how fragile he is. It's like, God damn it, man.
So I go back to the Council of Elders. 7 grams of shrooms.
by yourself. Shit. Unsupervised. Great. Olive does not count.
That's and then so after I, when I was coming funny. Down, I watched the Matrix trilogy.
Oh, that's perfect.
It's great. Just, no fucking.
Just question.
I mean, I think I would honestly put me down for watching the first movie three times.
Well, see, that's why I made myself do it, because I'm like, right? I'm watching the story.
Yeah, first movie three times.
Here I am, are there Neo. More? And then you just watch him figure it out again.
Yeah. And it's then the again. Black cat again, right? Yeah, the black cat's coming
actually,
again.
I heard a story the other day that because the directors of the movie transitioned, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were the brothers, now they're the sisters.
Yeah.
Right? And somebody put it together that movie's about transgenderism. Mm-hmm. And presented to the Kowalski?
Wachowski.
Yeah, sisters. Yeah. And they were like, oh my God, yeah, it totally is.
Subconsciously, yeah. They wrote, even before they knew it, that is some really powerful shit.
Yeah. Love that.
God.
And you well, now took I want to seven, do ayahuasca. 7 grams of shrooms to get to that. Out. Fucking thank God.
Like, wow, it is about
cool,
changing.
Man. Yeah. Dude, yeah. I can't wait to see what you do with the three Crocodile Dundee movies. Yeah. I forgot about the third one, the third Beverly one. Hills.
Yeah.
Or L.A. Might be L.A.
Yeah. L.A., I think.
I never saw it.
There's Mr. Dundee now, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh.
He couldn't use the word Crocodile Dundee because it was trademarked.
MGM probably owns that or whoever. I think I've seen the second Crocodile Dundee movie. Like, it's one of those that I've seen, like RoboCop 2. I've seen that one 5 or 10 to 1 more than the first one.
Yeah. The first one's okay, but that second one's crazy.
Where he's like, he fucking summons the animals with the fucking, like, woo, 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 woo. Thank you. Yep. I'm so glad that we all know that movie as well as I do.
I've heard that, that noise, in spiritual journeys before.
Nice. And do you immediately start wanting to laugh?
I do.
Yeah, because it just immediately goes
so
back.
So I was I was at Vipassana once, the first time we did Vipassana. And it was like day 8 or 9 where I could finally get my shit back together. And I had this really beautiful meditation, like just sat and like all the things happened and like the lights came on and I just felt good about life. And so I was like, cool, I'm going to go for a walk. And so I went to this walking path. And right adjacent to the walking path, there was a there's like this little wooded area you can walk through. And right when I walked, I stepped 1 foot in there. There was like this branch. It's like HD ultra, just like just went into my face, and I could see like the dew on the moss. And I'm not on any drugs. I've not had anything in my system for about 10 days now, or at that point. And but it was just like that tapped in. And so all this stuff just started like this. The forest came alive in front of me. It was so cool. And then I heard that noise, that womp, 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 womp. And I'm like, what is that? Is that Mick Dundee above me? Like, what the
fuck? This is
annoying.
And
I looked up and it was a raven flying over me. And I could feel the waft of its wings, like, what, 20 feet above me?
Yeah.
And here, that's the noise it was making. And it was like, wow, this is, I don't want to stop this. This is
great.
I live life right now.
I've heard about this fucking room, and I think it's Finland or whatever. It's the quietest room in the world or whatever. It's supposed to actually make you go nuts.
Uh-huh.
Like, people can't handle it.
What does that even feel like? Like, you feel your heart or
your lungs expand.
And so what one of the things they're working with that, because I can't really put a finger on why it's driving people crazy, but most of us are kind of sick.
We can't sit in silence.
And no. So most of us are physically sick.
Oh.
And when you get that quiet, you can start to hear the sickness of yourself. Like, your body gives off. And that's one of the things with sound therapy that they're working with on a medical level right now is that, so let's say I have a sick liver. I have cirrhosis of the liver, right?
Yeah.
And say Robin's got a healthy liver, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to record the frequencies of Robin's liver, right? Healthy liver. They're going to record that into...
I actually have one now.
Yeah. And even though like they might put off frequencies that we can't hear, we can still record them. And then they'll play that into my ear with my unhealthy liver. And then my liver will hear that and be like, hey, we don't sound like that.
Yeah.
Oh, we should sound like that.
Yeah.
Oh, let's sound like that.
Yeah.
And then they start to sound like that.
Believe that 1,000% that is
that's like
that
John
works.
Hopkins is doing shit like that.
Yeah, you know? Like the world operates on vibration, and so 10 years ago, if someone said that to me, I'm like, you're fucking nuts. But now I'm like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Totally. Yes, it does.
Hand to God.
Yep.
Hand to self.
The other interesting one that I've been reading about for sound healing is with dealing with tumors. So you know, think about like an opera singer, you know. We all see the opera singer singing and the glass shatters, right? Yeah. So that's the idea of a counter frequency. So the opera singer sings something and it's singing at this frequency and the glass holds this counter frequency. And because it can't reach the frequency it needs to, it can't hold the energy and it shatters.
Right.
They're testing that theory with sound and tumors.
Uh-huh.
So tumors have a counter frequency just like
opera singers does. Are going to be the new doctors.
Right. Oh, I think, yeah, I think they're trying to do that with like prostate and shit.
Yep.
They're
yep.
trying to like, yeah.
Yeah. Blast you, if shit. You, yeah. If you can find the counter frequency of that tumor, it, you can blast it with that. It'll destroy it. And then it, your body just shovels it out instead of having
sure
to go
it doesn't feel good.
Wouldn't that be just the ultimate, like, we've had this cure for cancer and we keep thinking we just put poison in our bodies and have to spend thousands of, you know, millions
yeah,
of dollars
need,
thrown
need,
at it.
You just need Wynton Marsalis to
truly
like
just need a fucking musician. Like,
yeah.
Oh my, like.
Oh, if you know anyone who could
I want to live
hit
in that
an
world.
F-sharp solo yeah. on a Les Paul,
can, we get,
your
can we get Joni Mitchell in here? We got a prostate.
I am so glad you brought up Joni Mitchell.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Did you see the Grammys?
Okay. No, but I got some amazing Joni Mitchell shit. So
I can't believe you waited this long to tell me.
Are you familiar with the album she wrote, released
yes.
about my stepbrother, my stepsister? I'm sorry about this.
No,
I'm going to need to pull this up.
But I did hear Joni Mitchell is making a comeback and had like her
thanks
vocal coaches.
Thanks to Brandi Carlile.
The vocal coaches, Brandi Carlile, Marcus Mumford.
Yeah.
Wow.
They have brought her back to life. It's
1977 truly album called Don Juan's Reckless Daughter. Are you familiar with this at all?
Okay. No, I guess not.
Okay. So it's pretty funny because so if you look at the cover of this album right here.
Mm-hmm.
That on the far left there is Joni Mitchell in
blackface no.
dressed as a African-American male. She did this as a Halloween costume and then really vibed with it.
Sure.
And so, okay, you know, again, I'm not here for that.
Yeah.
But, okay, I guess, and this is just what I heard. I haven't read any of this, but she's kind of been asked about this in the past.
Okay.
And opposed to, you know, what I would think, regardless of how you feel, kind of the game you play now is you uh-huh. just apologize,
right. yeah.
whether you give a shit or not.
Right.
You
right.
say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. 1977 was a long
a
time ago.
Yeah.
But now she kind of says that she identifies as a black male. And I have a difficulty with that.
I don't believe that.
You're going to need to do some digging. That's going to be a podcast.
I've never heard that
yeah.
before. So, okay, maybe
we'll
that
do
can
some
be our
podcast
next episode.
On that one.
Well, Kathy Griffin pulled that shit, too, in, like, the early 2010s, where she had a whole comedy show called Strong Black Woman. And she was like, I'm a strong black woman in my spirit. And I look back, and, like, when it came out, I was like, oh, that's fucking hilarious. And then that was, like, you know, 20 years ago. And looking at it now, and you're like, ugh.
Yeah,
but,
so Joni doesn't really like to talk about it now. But, yeah, no, it's pretty funny. She doesn't, she says that... yeah, she had...
She doesn't think that anymore, but doesn't feel the need to address it anymore.
What I heard was that she was said is, when I see a black man walking down the street, I like give him a like a, what's up? And I'm just going, I don't think that's perceived the way you think that's
you know, at
perceived,
the end of the day,
Joni.
Boomer's going to be boomers, even if you're a fucking Joni Mitchell.
It's like the hip-hop dance lady.
Oh,
this is
yeah,
hip-hop.
This is hip-hop.
Turn
oh, the
beat out.
Yeah.
You got to... Bounce when you walk.
Yeah.
That's hip-hop.
Move your shoulders.
Yeah.
God, I'm sure I am going...
You got to dig on that one.
I will dig into
oh,
it, but
yeah.
I can maybe see
it's
where she's
good.
Like, we're all connected.
Oh.
I've had struggles. You've had struggles. Not the same struggles. I want to make that clear.
Right.
But it's
yeah.
just like in her mind, like I resonate more with
extremely
this group
wealthy
than...
white woman.
Yeah, I'm not explaining it away. I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, no,
I'm trying to understand
and
where
that,
she's coming from.
That mentality that you just spoke of, you see a lot with that generation.
Of course.
I'm not the problem. No, I support and I recognize, you
how
know, it's
time
like
do
you
we
don't.
Because I want to get into something
I,
that
I
goes
know,
along.
Dude, it's so funny. I was going to bring this shit up even before we podcast. I wanted to do.
All right. Well, I got homework to do now.
Don Juan's
nothing will break. Nothing will break my Joni Mitchell love, but this is interesting and I.
So the song Coyote, I'm like, is that about her being a coyote? Taking people across the border? Is that her identifying?
No, it's not, Robin.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
So here's the thing about people
thinking... Or is that
thinking,
actually an animal?
actually an animal. Okay. Yeah, yeah. They metaphorically. So people of all generations claiming to be allies but doing things that are not ally or with best intentions thinking they are doing. So there is a video going around TikTok right now that's kind of went viral in the lesbian community. There is a woman named Lexi who posted a video about going to a gay bar with her – or a lesbian bar, very important, the Cubbyhole in New York City. Cubbyhole is a very small lesbian bar. There are only 27 lesbian bars in the entire United States. There's not even one estate. Like, they are few and far between.
We are Wild Rose, right?
Yes. Which I also have a story about that. So this woman posts a video saying, like, my lesbian friend invited me to the Cubbyhole. I went, and then she invited her straight cis male friend to come join them. And there was a lesbian that was waiting for the bathroom that saw this cis hetero guy and approached him and was like, hey, are you here with anybody? And he's like, oh, well, yeah, I'm with, you know, pointed out the lesbian that he was with.
Yeah.
And so she was like, oh, okay, I just wanted to, you know, check. Which in my lesbian mind is like, oh, she's checking for safety of everybody. Like, you know.
Okay.
And so she goes off on this, the straight woman goes off on this lesbian woman for confronting her straight male friend, saying that, like, what, are we straight people not allowed in gay bars? You're causing problems.
That's
She's right. like,
yeah,
that's, I'm
that's
just...
where I saw the keyboard warriors going.
Right, and so she kind of posted this question, like, are straight people not allowed in lesbian bars? And the answer is, not really. Like, of course you can, but should you?
I was going to say, I've never been to the Wild Rose.
Well, here's the thing. So there's a guy at work who is very, very straight guy. And he went out with his friends one night, and he was telling me, he's like, yeah, I didn't know the Wild Rose was a gay bar. And so we were standing in line, and the bouncer told us, like, hey, you know this is a lesbian bar, right? I just want to let you know. And he goes, oh, no, I didn't know that. And he was like, I knew the friends that I was with, and I knew it was a lesbian bar. And we turned around and walked away, because this was not going to be a good mix for the kind of guys I was with.
No, yeah.
But he had the wherewithal to know, hey, could we go into the bar? Sure. Were they not letting him in? No.
Right.
Did they notify him what was happening? Of course. Like, there was not a probably physical safety concern, but, you know, like, you just can't exist as a lesbian in straight man bars without getting hit on, without getting approached, without getting, you know, just all violence is always a issue with just with women across the board. So it's like we have so few safe spaces in this country, literally 27 in the country.
Right.
There are millions of bars in New York City. There's three bars in New York City for lesbians specifically. And there are a multitude of, like, gay bars for men, you know, bisexuals. There's just not a lot for lesbians. And so if someone approaches you in a lesbian bar to ask, like, what you're doing there, we're not doing it in the sense of, like, what the fuck are you doing here? Right, get out. Yeah. Go back to where you came from kind of thing. It's like we're doing it to, like, check for our own safety. Like, definitely. If there's a random hetero dude in a lesbian bar and he's not there with anybody, that's concerning.
Right.
So the fact that this woman who probably was like, I have a lesbian friend, I'm an ally, but, like, you don't. And then the thing that stood out in the video was she was like, I was nice to her until I wasn't. And I was like, that is why straight people need to not be in gay bars, because you are nice until it becomes uncomfortable for you.
Right.
When we are just trying to have the one very few spaces that we have in, you know, to be ourselves in.
Right.
And the same thing with bachelorette parties at gay bars. It always bothered me. And it's like, yes, of course you can have your bachelorette party at a gay bar. But this was before, 2015. Gays were not allowed to get married. So you're just flaunting this thing that we are not able to do.
Oh, fuck.
And no one thinks about that because straight people exist. The entire world is your safe space.
Yeah,
right.
So you're not going in with bad intentions. Yep. You don't think twice about it. But there are things that, like, you are a guest. You are a guest and you need to, you know, wipe your shoes off. You need to be extra vigilant. Right, you need to, like,
it's interesting,
this is not your space.
Because when you were describing, you know, kind of like the lesbian bar, and I was sitting there going, well, I've been to gay bars, you know, I don't fucking drink anymore, but, like, and never had any of that vibe at all. But I'm also a dude, so I don't know how much that is. Now, would a straight woman going into a lesbian bar, you know, obviously that's not going to raise any red flags because they're not going to know instantly.
Sure. Just
in my mind, you know.
But the it is a big part of it was the physical safety factor with the straight male. What bothers me about straight women in gay bars is that Or even in gay bars or lesbian bars, they're what I hear the most from straight people is, this is where I feel safe. Right. Men don't hit on me. And I'm like, bitch, why do you think we're here? Like, yeah. We are here because we can't go anywhere else. And I understand that you feel like that there is not another space for you, but in reality, there is. And I don't, like I said, I don't have any problem with straight people at gay bars, but you need to act like you are a guest in that bar. And there are a lot of straight women that come in, like the woman that was like, I'm nice until I'm not. Or, you know, if someone hits on you, like, if you're a woman in a lesbian bar and you get hit on and you take that poorly or something like that, like there's always like variables that I don't know how you're going to react. And if you're here, I'm assuming you're lesbian or on the you know, LGBTQ something.
Best pours I've ever had, gay bars.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like fucking insane pours.
Yeah. And they have become more of a space for everybody.
Fucking party. Holy shit. Does a gay bar know how to party?
They don't fuck around. Yeah.
Not at all.
I've only been to, the only times I've been to gay bars were with my gay friends.
Yeah.
They invited me out. Yeah, sure. Like, hey, come to Neighbors.
Right. Yeah, cool. Absolutely. And I'm not saying it's not allowed, but like when you are in a queer space, make note of that in your brain. That you are in a queer space.
We were like guests with that. Yeah, see, that's the thing. It's like, I wasn't
There's nothing wrong with that.
But see, like, as a straight dude, like, with, like, presumably most of the time, all my other hetero friends were not just like, oh, let's go to fucking Neighbors.
Right.
Like, that just doesn't make sense. Right. Now,
well, and that guy that I work with that was with all of his, like, you know, bro guys that night, he was like, we're definitely not coming in. Like, we're not, that's not a great choice for us. Yeah. And it's, I don't want to make anyone feel uncomfortable. Yeah. And it kind of surprised me from the kind of guy that he is. Like, that surprised me. He'd made that choice. And I was like, man, okay, he was conscious enough to have the wherewithal to be like, there are better choices for us.
I would have walked my ass right in there, asked for the remote, and put fucking NASCAR on.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
Yeah, I would have been like, sweet. Can we get the sound on? That's
my stuff.
You got like do you have a Toby Keith concert on rerun or something we can throw up there?
I'll drink coffee.
R.I.P.
Yeah, I know. Actually, that was the first time I thought good about a musician when he died.
Well, actually, so my opinion on Toby Keith changed a little bit after Steve Colbert did his, like, a little kind of eulogy for him last night.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Steve, was there some shit about Toby Keith?
Well, no, he's just a piece of shit.
Well, he's you know, he's
racist, homophobic. He also was like a huge part of the Dixie Chicks downfall.
See, that's the thing.
Like,
is
he
like,
started up shit with Dixie Chicks.
Yeah,
when they're...
this was after, and I was literally talking about this morning. This was after, it's probably like 05, 06. So this is like after we had already gone to Iraq War, but then we found out we weren't supposed, like we were kind of duped into going there.
Yeah.
Weapons of mass destruction,
misled.
All that shit.
And then there was kind of two different camps. We're there, let's go. Toby Keith, Dixie Chicks, that's fucking bullshit, fuck you. Okay. That's kind of where I was.
He has a song called the Taliban Song, where he just makes fun of Muslim and Arab people.
Yeah.
Like, it's horrible.
Wow.
He was not my favorite dude. All right. So when I found out he passed away, I was like,
I lost track of him after the 90s.
Yeah, yes, you should.
I remember
Red Solo Cup.
Well, I didn't even know that was him. I know the song, but I remember I saw him one time at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo back in like 97
God,
or 98.
You've seen some fucking shows.
And I think it was like him and Reba McEntire.
Oh, shit.
But Toby Keith was so drunk, he forgot all the words to his song.
Oh, cool.
So he just kind of wandered around the stage like just strumming his guitar.
Jamma, 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 jamma.
Country kid.
All you gotta say is America, veterans. Like, that's all you gotta say. Yeah,
I think I was like 18 at the time, so like, get the fuck off here.
Yeah, so, well, I'm glad he's in a better place and not here causing any more trouble.
Yeah, Steve Colbert, good friend.
Okay, well, I got stuff on him too. He's very Catholic and that kind of bothers me.
Oh, yeah, no, he's unabashedly still devoted to that.
Yeah. That's a red flag for me.
Structure of faith.
Yeah.
And the Lord of the Rings. That man has so much depth in J.R.R. Tolkien.
Well, because that's a Christian story at the end of the day. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus, crazy. Is it?
Yeah, well, Tolkien was like, it's basically the...
Well, didn't Tolkien have a bunch of... Well, I mean, he's also... Yeah, I'm sure we
could probably
do that. It
was his and Narnia books.
Yeah.
They're both like very entrenched in Christian under.
That's why I like his Dark Materials.
I love it.
Fuck you,
Philip Pullman.
I love that series. That's good stuff. All right, well, we didn't get to your topic at all.
That's okay. Well, now we have something for next time.
Joni Mitchell.
Don't ruin my world.
Yeah.
It won't. Nothing could break my Joni.
It's good. The more you dig on that, you're just going to be like, no. No, that's not what you say. That's not how you handle it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. Maybe we should just do an episode about the stars that fell in our eyes.
Oh, that's an easy one. But yeah, it's good. Okay. See, the thing is, like, that level of scrutiny, and I think we say this every time, because people get disgraced. We've done this fucking podcast for a while now. It's like, oh, well, so-and-so's fucked up now.
Yeah.
Like, I know...
Nicki Minaj for me right now is really Lizzo's
now
me.
Kind of in hiding and shit because of all that. Oh, you know, she's got that her sexual harassment thing. Which I think we talked about that, didn't we?
And just being pieces of shit to her dancers.
Okay. Yeah. This is all news to me.
So I know we're over our allotted time, but I just do want to add.
Oh, we gotta go.
I just want to add really quick. I am a Barb. I love Nicki Minaj. She is a hot mess sometimes, but this was the first time because she released a diss track on Megan Thee Stallion. Let me tell you something. It flopped harder than anything I've ever heard from anyone. It
kinda
was
like
she spent a minute and 30 seconds whispering, just talking, no track, just talking shit, like nonsense, just absolute nonsense for a minute and a half. And she sounded like she's in the middle of a manic episode, to be quite honest. Wow. And I have tickets to her show in March, and I am so worried that it is going to affect the quality of the show. So I am here to set my intention that Nikki will have a great show in Seattle and that we will not hear a word of this Megan nonsense. I'll make you listen to the tracks. They're wild. Okay. And then Megan released one, and it knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Just knocked it out of the park.
All right.
But Nikki's falling a little bit for me right now. I'm a little disappointed as a Barb right now. But
it's been a while since I've heard a good diss track. You know. So,
well, right. Megan's got a good one right now.
All right.
Yeah.
Good deal.
All right.
Cool. Well, we'll talk about it next time.
Okay. Ayo.